Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 21st, 2020. Coming up this hour,
global stocks fall as the coronavirus outbreak spreads.
Cases in China climb back above 75,000, while South Korea and Japan confirm more infections.
The death toll in China passes 2,200 as new questions surface about data coming out of Beijing.
Intelligence officials reportedly say Russia is interfering in the 2020 election to help President Trump, plus preparation for tomorrow's Nevada caucuses. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, the Nets lose in more ways than one, a setback at Yankees camp, and the Devils with a late winner at home.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Asset managers can exceed new thresholds for data management, reporting, and responsiveness. Transform your business with SEI's global operating platform at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are falling on this Friday morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 14 points. Dow futures down 108. NASDAQ futures down 50. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.1%. CAC in Paris down 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.4%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong dropped 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 1.47%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.36%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6% or 86 cents at $53.02 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1%, up $16.30 at $16.36.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.0809 against the dollar, and the yen is at 111.73. Nathan.
Karen, there are fresh concerns this morning about data coming out of China on the coronavirus. Hubei province is once again revising the number of cases. It increased its tally on new infections just hours after publishing a lower count. Here with details is Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
China isn't going to win any awards for data transparency, right? They changed their methodology twice. So just bear that in mind when I run through the latest numbers, as you say, from Hubei. So 411 additional infections, 115 additional deaths, and 1,200 or thereabouts suspected cases. So if you combine the suspected cases and the 411 confirmed cases, those are both higher than the number of people being discharged. And they're both not higher as well, those numbers, than the data sets that we got out yesterday.
And that brings the number of infections in China back above the 75,000 mark. Fatalities, meantime, are now above 2,200.
The number of coronavirus cases is also rising in nearby countries. Total infections in South Korea are now above 200, and we're seeing a similar trend in Japan. We get more from Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann in Hong Kong.
Japan also seeing a spike up in cases, more than doubling now to 84. Keep in mind these numbers discount the number of cases on that Diamond Princess cruise held off in Yokohama, but still alarming because the concern is that most of these cases in the country have no travel history to China. So this has been transmitted locally.
More than 1,000 passengers who tested negative for the virus are leaving that Diamond Princess cruise ship, while about 1,000 people remain on the vessel.
The spread of the outbreak sparked fresh concern in Asian markets overnight. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us now from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. South Korea's KOSPI fell 1.5%. Weak South Korean export data also weighed on the won, which tested October lows, and also hurting sentiment were gauges of manufacturing in Australia and Japan. And in another example of just how much the virus is hurting consumption, the Passenger Car Association of China reported that car sales in China were down 92% in the first half of February. Over the course of the week, the MSCI Asia Pacific Index was down more than 2% as investor anxiety over the virus remains. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Bloomberg customers can get the latest on the coronavirus outbreak by typing VRUSGO on the terminal.
Meantime, data out of Europe show the region remains resilient in the face of the virus. And Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest economic reading from the euro area. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Eurozone economic activity unexpectedly accelerated to the fastest pace in 6 months in February. The region's composite PMI edged up to 51.6, signalling quarterly economic growth of about 0.2%. Manufacturing shrank at a lower pace than before. Services held up, but in one worrying development, inflows of new business into the services sector grew more slowly than in the previous 2 months. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thanks. And up next, we get a PMI reading for U.S. manufacturing at 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists predict the gauge will slide for a third month. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Deljudice.
Markets factory PMI rebounded in the third quarter into the fourth and then lost some ground, signaling slower growth in December and January. Data this week from the Federal Reserve Banks of New York and Philadelphia suggests manufacturing could be stabilizing after struggling through 2019. Also on today's data agenda, January existing home sales. Vinny Deljudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. On the corporate front, it looks like Morgan Stanley's purchase of E-Trade might start the clock on James Gorman's departure. The CEO wants to see the deal through, but then he tells us it'll be time to pass the torch.
You know, I want to see this thing get done. I want to see it get implemented, and you know, I'll be around for a few years to see that happen. But no, the future is not me after a few years. It's the next team, which it should be.
As for the deal, Gorman says it's a no-brainer. He expects it to boost Morgan's digital offerings and improve its equities trading business.
We just put at risk 4.5 months of last year's earnings to buy an iconic institution with $600 billion of assets, $3 billion of revenues that's going to improve all of our financial models. This is a no-brainer from that perspective.
And shares of Morgan Stanley fell 4.5% yesterday. They're down another 0.3% this morning.
And coming up later, we get a look at demand for farm equipment when Deere reports quarterly results. Those earnings are due out next hour. And here with a preview is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Fiscal 2020 is expected to get off to a slow start for the company. Deere has reduced production to work through excess inventory amid weaker demand. Analysts are forecasting a 17% decline in earnings. Revenue could fall by more than 10%. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Larry, thank you. S&P futures again lower, down 14 points. Dow futures down 108 and NASDAQ futures down 51. The euro 1.0808 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here on this Friday morning. Get a check of what's happening around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Happy Friday, Nathan. Intelligence officials are said to have warned lawmakers that Russia is interfering in the 2020 election campaign to help President Donald Trump get reelected. The warning was first reported by the New York Times and Washington Post. A senior administration official said it infuriated Trump, who complained that Democrats would use the information against him. Speaking at a CNN town hall event last night in Las Vegas, former Vice President Biden says it seems to him that the intelligence community and everyone but President Trump believes Russia is interfering with the U.S. election process.
Not a surprise at all. I was deeply involved with the intelligence community when I was in the when I was vice president. We knew it then. They've been involved. They continue to be involved. I guarantee you they're involved. And the fact is that I expect whoever did that briefing is about to be fired.
Biden also pledged not to run for a second term if he's not healthy enough to do the job. President Trump said he wouldn't immediately pardon his former associate, Roger Stone, but indicated he would intervene in the case if courts don't overturn his conviction. President Trump told people at the Hope for Prisoners graduation in Las Vegas his longtime friend was the victim of a biased jury.
The forewoman of the jury, the woman who was in charge of the jury, is totally tainted. When you take a look, how can you have a person like this? She was a anti-Trump activist.
Stone was sentenced yesterday to more than 3 years in prison for lying to Congress and tampering with a witness. The caucus counters in Nevada are hoping last-minute training classes will head off serious trouble calculating and reporting results of tomorrow's presidential contest. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
It's a state that knows something about spotlights and putting on a show.
I ask for the vote of the people of Nevada.
Right here in Nevada.
Nevada, I'm asking for your vote.
But the national spotlight can be withering when something goes wrong. Just ask Iowa, which may explain why party leaders in Nevada are cautioning results of the presidential nominating contest may not come quickly. They had originally planned to use the same reporting app that Iowa Democrats used. Now the Democratic National Committee says bluntly, we're not using the app anymore. They're using a calculator. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. It was a double dose of bad news for the Nets. First of the action on the floor. Big effort for the Nets goes unrewarded. They fall to the best home record in the game, 112-104 in overtime, pushing the Sixers to 26-2 at home. Joel Embiid led the Sixers with 39, Spencer Dinwiddie 22 in the loss. To make matters worse, Kyrie Irving announced he's having season-ending shoulder surgery. The Knicks, they open their second half at home tonight against the Pacers at 7:30. Devils, they leaned on one of the game's most savvy veterans late at home.
Gusev back for Subban. At the circle, he scores! BK through a screen! A power play goal, and the Devils have the lead for the first time tonight.
MSG Network's on the call. They edge the Sharks 2-1. Devils and Rangers currently out of the playoffs. The Islanders tied for the final postseason spot. Rangers skate in Carolina at 7. Islanders host the Red Wings at 8. Baseball. Yankees pitcher Luis Severino has forearm stiffness dating back to the ALCS, according to skipper Aaron Boone. He's been shut down from throwing. There's no timetable for his return. Mets and Yankees open their spring schedules on Saturday. College basketball, an easy win for number 2, Gonzaga. 14th-ranked Oregon upset at Arizona State. 18th-ranked Colorado a winner, as was number 23, BYU, while 20th-ranked Iowa upset at home by Ohio State. Tennis, Roger Federer will miss the French Open with knee surgery. And golf, Rory McIlroy at 6-under leads the WGC in Mexico after round one. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thanks. And tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show when we speak with Bob Arum. The big-time boxing promoter weighs in on this weekend's big fight between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. You can catch that conversation tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or subscribe to the Bloomberg Business of Sports show wherever you get your podcasts. S&P futures lower by 14 points. Dow futures down 111. NASDAQ futures down 51 points. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks dropping in Europe and Asia alongside U.S. stock index futures amid renewed concern about the impact of the coronavirus as cases increased outside of China. Treasuries and gold advancing. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 12 points, Dow futures down 98, NASDAQ futures down 46. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 1.48%, yield on the 2-year 1.37%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% or 80 cents at $53.07 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1% or $15.90 at $16.36.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0801 against the dollar, British pound 1.2920, and the yen is at 111.75. Today we get a PMI reading for U.S. manufacturing out at 9:45 Wall Street time, followed by existing home sales out at 10. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. A classified briefing to House members warned that Russia is meddling to re-elect President Trump. The briefing, first reported in the New York Times and Washington Post, is said to have angered the president and is concerned that Democrats would use it against him. It is said the day after last week's briefing to lawmakers, the president berated the outgoing acting director of National Intelligence, Joseph McGuire, for allowing it to take place. Some of the presidential candidates will do some last-minute campaigning tonight in Nevada before tomorrow's caucuses. Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, and Tom Steyer are among those planning to hold rallies. In sports, the NBA resume action after the All-Star break. The Nets lost in overtime. The Warriors also lost. In the NHL, the Devils won. The Capitals lost in overtime to the Canadiens. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Want to get more now on our top story of the morning, the coronavirus potentially entering a new phase now. The vast majority of infections are still in China, more than 75,000 reported there, but the number of infections outside is surging. In South Korea, where they've reported more than 200 now, Singapore and Japan each have more than 85 cases. And with millions of people in China still under travel restrictions, we're starting to see economic effects, even at the most basic level. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Rashad Salamat has more from Hong Kong.
Ultimately, who would go out shopping for a car when you've got this going on? I mean, this is just it. And, you can say that perhaps they'll buy a car next month or the month after. But a two-year cycle is normally when you replace your vehicle. That's going to delay things as well. So looking down the line, this is actually going to affect people.
That says a new report out of China says car sales in the country plunged 92% in the first 2 weeks of this month. It may still be too soon to gauge the broader economic impact of the coronavirus, but analysts are watching closely. Mona Mahajan is a U.S. investment strategist at Allianz Global Investors.
Generally, the consensus is Q1 GDP growth globally will be hit pretty dramatically. Of course, the areas that will be hit most, China, Hong Kong, Asian partners, then Europe, and I think that region generally are large trading partners with China in particular. The U.S., a little bit more isolated from a trading perspective, but still, when you think about those second order impacts, the supply chain impacts, that's really where I think the rising concern is in the markets.
If Chinese manufacturing is delayed beyond March, Mahajan says there could be an outsized impact in the United States. But Asia remains the focal point of concern. And with South Korea confirming 48 more cases of the coronavirus today alone, economists are already warning of a significant disruption there. Sean Roach is chief Asia-Pacific economist at S&P Global Ratings.
From what we've seen so far, and assuming that we see the virus contained around March or April, will be to shave about 0.5 percentage points off overall growth. That's going to bring growth again below 2% for Korea this year, and it's going to set back the recovery that we were all hoping to see, at least until 2021.
Roche is predicting 2 rate cuts from South Korea's central bank this year. The airline industry is bracing for a 13% drop in travel demand this year, and that could mean up to $29.3 billion in lost revenue. Alexander Dejuniak is CEO of the International Air Transport Association. He tells Bloomberg the bulk of that decline should be centered in Asia.
If the outbreak spreads, which is not likely to happen, apparently, if we follow what we do every day with the World Health Organization, it should be limited to that region and be very, very strictly limited for the airlines and the activity outside the Asia-Pacific region.
The industry group says global air traffic could be nearly 5% lower this year, and that would be the first overall decline in demand since the global financial crisis. China is vowing to keep its growth targets where they are despite the outbreak. The People's Bank of China is injecting liquidity into markets, and Beijing is promising fiscal stimulus, including cuts to fees and corporate taxes. Still, Brookings senior fellow Eswar Prasad says those measures might not be effective.
If the People's Bank of China continues to inject liquidity, you might well end up with a situation where you still have a lot of investment that is not very productive, but at the same time, the smaller firms that are the much more dynamic ones, but also much riskier, of course, are the ones that end up suffering a lot more.
Prasad says China could be left with little stimulus in terms of productivity and employment and longer-term financial risks. As more companies face disruptions during the outbreak, they may be looking at insurance to cover losses. Finley Markham at Anderson Kill says that's where commercial property insurance policies come into play.
Most big companies have them, and these policies provide coverage not only for property damage to your own premises, but they also provide coverage for lost earnings called business interruption coverage.
Harkham says there has to be property damage for that coverage to kick in. He says the coronavirus could qualify, particularly on cruise ships. The other big story right now, Morgan Stanley diving deeper into retail banking. It is buying the online discount broker E-Trade for $13 billion. Mike Mayo at Wells Fargo is skeptical.
When Schwab bought U.S. Trust, how did that work out? Not so well. Bank America buying Merrill. That took over 5 years to try to work out.
David Bonson is a former managing director at Morgan Stanley. He says he was stunned by the deal.
The clients of E-Trade are not looking for advice. So even apart from the fact they don't pay for trades, they're not looking to have intermediaries that are there to provide wealth management.
Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman has been pushing his bank's wealth management side since the financial crisis. Purchasing E-Trade lets the company add clients who are less wealthy than the firm's traditional customers. Shares of Morgan Stanley fell 4.5% yesterday as that deal was announced. Right now in the pre-market, they are down another third of 1%. Broader market is pushing lower as well. S&P futures are down 12.5 points. Dow futures lower by 99 points. NASDAQ futures a loss of 46 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Land Rover. The only adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are falling as worry over the coronavirus creeps back into markets. The number of cases in China is back above 75,000, but it's the spread elsewhere that's causing fresh concern. We get the very latest from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
From the understandable, the WHO wants more funding, to the odd, South Korea has 52 new infections, most of them in a religious sect in Daegu. To the truly bizarre, China's Shandong province finds 200 cases in a single prison. Add to that, 59 Hong Kong police officers are quarantined after a colleague was infected. Now, investors appear to have discounted a peak in infections in China, but they're troubled by the reliability of the data, the spread in Asia, and the relentless new warnings from companies. Anxiety back in global markets. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. Adding to that anxiety about a slowdown in economic growth, declines in manufacturing data out of Japan and Australia, as well as weak export data from South Korea. Isaac Poole is Chief Investment Officer at Oriana Financial.
The risk is really skewed to the downside. What we see in China and Asia is there is a supply side impact from the virus. There is a demand side impact from the virus. Both of these are going to play out longer than the impact of the virus itself.
Gold is gaining, oil is sliding, and treasury yields are falling for the fifth day in seven sessions. Right now, the 10-year yield is at 1.48%.
In Europe, the latest PMI data show the region remains resilient in the face of the virus. Eurozone economic activity unexpectedly accelerated in February. A composite purchasing managers index edged up to 51.6, signaling quarterly economic growth of about 0.2%.
And it's a similar story in the UK with a better-than-expected PMI reading for February. British manufacturing output grew at the fastest pace in 10 months, offsetting a small decline in services.
And we also get U.S. PMI data today at 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time, and that's followed by a reading on existing home sales. And next hour, look for earnings from Deere & Company. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures are down about 13 points. Dow futures down 107. NASDAQ futures down 48. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 1.48%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.37%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% or 77 cents at $53.11 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 1% or $16.30 at $16.36.80 an ounce. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is back with a check of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. According to several media outlets, including the New York Times and Washington Post, Russia has backed President Donald Trump's election. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter says the president reportedly fears Democrats will exploit it.
This reportedly was a classified briefing in which intelligence officials warned House lawmakers that Russia was interfering in the 2020 campaign to get Mr. Trump reelected. New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman.
The president's argument was that Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, would use this information against him in some way. That was basically his main complaint.
During the briefing, Trump allies argued that Mr. Trump had been tough on Russia in a number of different ways. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump says his longtime friend and campaign advisor, Roger Stone, has been treated unfairly by the justice system. Stone yesterday was sentenced to more than 3 years in prison by a federal judge for lying to Congress and witness tampering.
They say he lied, but other people lied too. Just to mention, Comey lied. McCabe lied.
President Trump, speaking at the Hope for Prisoners graduation in Las Vegas, says he wouldn't immediately pardon Stone, but indicated he would intervene in the case if the courts don't overturn his conviction. Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren says mental health is an issue long overlooked. Senator Warren spoke during a CNN town hall last night.
Schizophrenia is a health problem in America. Bipolar disorder is a health problem in America. Suicide is a problem in America that we all need to address.
Meanwhile, Joe Biden, also at a Las Vegas town hall event, says he prefers the primary system to that of caucuses. It comes as Nevada Democrats are holding last-minute training classes to train volunteers to calculate and report results of their presidential caucus tomorrow. They're trying to avoid a repeat of the debacle with Iowa's caucuses earlier this month. California has sued the Trump administration to block new rules that would let farmers take more water from the state's rivers. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Brooklyn not only fell in overtime, 112-104 in Philadelphia, they made it official. Point guard Kyrie Irving is done season-ending shoulder surgery. He played in 20 games but was one of three players to have multiple 50-plus point games. Sixers got 39 from Joel Embiid to improve to a league-best 26-2 at home. New York opens their second half at the Garden tonight versus Indiana. Tip-off is 7:30. Frozen Floor. P.K. Subban picked up New Jersey late as they beat San Jose 2-1 at the Prudential Center. Mackenzie Blackwood had 36 saves. Both New York teams skate tonight. Rangers visit Carolina at 7, followed by the Islanders hosting Detroit at 8 o'clock. Baseball news. Yankees pitcher Luis Severino is shut down with forearm stiffness. General manager Brian Cashman.
It's all possible. Our approach to this discussion with you today is, you know, when Aaron addressed it, you know, was make sure we put out on the table that everything's possible because there's an unknown right now.
Severino apparently felt discomfort dating back to the ALCS. Grapefruit League play begins on Saturday. NFL, the owners have approved the new CBA. They'll now present it to the Players Association. College basketball, number two Gonzaga rolled. 12th-ranked Oregon lost at Arizona State, coached by former St. Anthony's High School star and Duke standout Bobby Hurley. Wins for ranked teams, Colorado, BYU, and Arizona. 20th-ranked Iowa was dropped by Ohio State. Tennis, Roger Federer to miss the French Open with knee surgery. In golf, Rory McIlroy at 6-under leads the WGC in Mexico through 18 holes. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Thanks, Rob. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with the cover on the coronavirus stressing China's fragile financial system, plus the organization that could be pivotal in creating a vaccine. Peter Coy wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
It's headquartered in Norway, of all places. It's like 3 years old, 68 employees. So in one way, it's very small. In another way, it's very big because of its power to coordinate a lot of different players.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. Listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio, and watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit youtube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. It's 5:38 on Wall Street, and that's time for the Tri-State Business Report. Let's check in now with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. The New York State Attorney General accuses New York City's Taxi and Limo Commission of defrauding taxi drivers out of hundreds of millions of dollars. It claims big fleet owners were allowed to collude on the pricing of operating permits, also known as medallions. The Department of Homeland Security says vehicles with New York State titles will face delays before they could be exported. The New York Times says officials have tied the action to the state's passage of the Green Light Law, which allows undocumented immigrants to obtain driver's licenses. The Volcker Alliance is out with its latest state-by-state review of several years' worth of fiscal policy. New Jersey continues to receive near-failing grades in several categories, showing little or no improvement in areas identified as trouble spots, including public employee pension funding and budget forecasting. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thank you, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Joan Doniger telling WHAS listeners in Louisville why Texas Roadhouse has reason to celebrate.
I'm Steve Podoskan on KNX in Los Angeles. We're looking at Tesla getting the legal go-ahead to clear a forest to make way for a new German factory.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on Cogo in San Diego. The NFL is moving toward a labor deal aimed at luring TV billions.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, we're watching for earnings from Deer.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Wells Fargo is close to a deal to settle federal probes into consumer abuses.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Some other stories we're following. More problems for Boeing 737 MAX. The company failed to fix a warning light in the plane's cockpit. That lack of a warning was cited as a factor in the crash of the Indonesian 737 MAX. Boeing could end up facing millions in penalties from the FAA. And HP is trying to block Xerox's hostile takeover bid. The company's adopted a shareholder rights plan that would make an acquisition more difficult to carry out. HP says that encourages Xerox or any other potential buyers to negotiate with the board. S&P futures down 13 points this morning. Dow futures down 109. NASDAQ futures lower by 47 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Command Financial. Business is constantly evolving. Is your financial printer staying ahead of the curve? Learn how Command Financial is evolving not only with the times, but with your business requirements. Visit commandfinancial.com today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are dropping in Europe and Asia alongside U.S. stock index futures amid renewed concern about the impact of the coronavirus as cases increased outside of China. Treasuries and gold advancing. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 13 points. Dow futures down 108. NASDAQ futures down 48. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32. Yield 1.48%. The yield on the 2-year 1.37%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.4% or 77 cents at $53.11 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1% or $16.90 at $16.37.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0803 against the dollar, British pound 1.2911, and the yen at 111.79. And today we do get a PMI reading for U.S. manufacturing at a 9:45 Wall Street time. That's followed by existing home sales at 10. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen reports about a new warning from intelligence officials to House members about Russia, and the 2020 election is shaking up Washington and angered President Trump. A bipartisan group is said to have discovered potential evidence showing Russia plans to interfere in the 2020 campaign to help the president. China reported another drop of coronavirus cases as health officials expressed continued optimism over containment of the outbreak that has caused more than 2,200 deaths but has grown elsewhere. China's total number of cases is at 75,465. In sports, the NBA resumed action after the All-Star break. The Nets lost in overtime. The Warriors also lost. In the NHL, the Devils won. The Capitals lost in OT to the Canadiens. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's almost 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Now let's get more on our top story this morning, the coronavirus, as it continues to spread across Asia. Bloomberg's Rashad Salamat joins us live from Hong Kong with the very latest. Rish, good to talk with you again this morning. And Michael just mentioned the drop in new cases in China, but there seem to be signs that the pathogen is surging outside of China. Is that what we were seeing now?
Nathan, absolutely. There's no doubt about China being the epicenter. Hubei province, obviously, the epicenter's epicenter, if you will. And while those number of new cases might have fallen, but we've got right now South Korean cases. They've soared past 200. We've got Singapore and Japan topping 85. Then don't forget that quarantined cruise ship now, which has got 600-plus people quarantined, though the majority of people have left that now, and most people should have left that ship by the end of the evening. Now, these cases of these infections mount, and worries are growing that the outbreak is entering a concerning new phase. We had China, of course, as I said, the vast majority, we're talking about 98% of cases around the world. But again, other Asian countries are bracing themselves right now. New restrictions coming into places in various countries, the Philippines, Indonesia, and others at the moment, looking at this anxiously, Nathan.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And as we still face these questions about just how this virus spreads, what are we seeing in terms of how it's spreading in macroeconomic terms?
Well, let me just give you the example of the German economy here. We had purchasing managers' indices for manufacturing coming out with a surprise jump, would you believe? But on the face of it, that looks good. You delve into the data a bit more, then you look at expectations. That tells you an entirely different story. Manufacturers cutting jobs, anticipating cutting more jobs and hiring fewer people as well. And according to IHS Market, this PM, the authors of this PMI data saying these are still early days, and what it does do is flatter the sector's current trajectory. So imagine the situation here as well. You want to go? Do you really want to go and buy a car when this is all going on, when you've got empty streets, you don't know what's going to happen next? Well, absolutely, you're not going to do it. So there's 92% fall in car sales in China here. Naturally, that's something you can expect. But, you know, these are things which might come back, but then it may delay the whole cycle of car replacement, let's say 2 years down the line as well. So there's so much going on. We've heard from all these different companies, Estee Lauder, Burberry, Nike, Yum Brands, and various others, just talking about how much footfall in their stores has gone down so much in the stores that they are open. I mean, look at Nike saying last week, 80% down in the 50% of stores that it still has kept the doors open on. So there you go. It's quite something. I mean, how much of this is warranted? Well, that's not for me to decide.
Right. Well, that tells you a lot, though, doesn't it? When you talk about how the people's movements are restricted, it has that basic economic impact in the hardest hit parts of the world. In terms of progress on the medical front, are we seeing any there?
Well, there's been a little bit coming through on this. We had last week a biotech company saying that what we had, they were taking plasma from people who had recovered from the ailment and finding that that actually did do the job in the cases that they had actually, in the 10 cases they tried it on. Then we've got also vaccines at the moment, stem cell therapy, some people are talking about here as well. That so far cured 4 patients with severe cases of the virus. We've got clinical trials taking place in 10 hospitals in Wuhan from Gilead Sciences experimental drug, which I'm not sure I can actually pronounce it, but I think it's called Remdesivir. Mm. And there's an even bigger trial for an anti-malaria medication as well, as we had clinical trials in Beijing and Guangdong province. Been showing some initial positive results, but there's nothing definitive. The race is on to try and get some sort of cure or some sort of vaccine here, Nathan.
Rashad Salamat, Bloomberg's Rashad Salamat, thank you as always for the update, joining us live from Hong Kong. And Bloomberg Terminal customers can get the latest on the coronavirus. Just type VRUSGO in the search bar. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Courtney Donahoe.
A House panel next month will consider small business concerns about navigating the patchwork of state laws on sales tax collections for remote sellers and online marketplaces. Large multinational companies would have to disclose country-by-country details of profits, taxes, and assets of their overseas operations under a bill introduced in the House. It would direct the SEC to mandate companies to file detailed reports with the regulator. And pickup trucks could be included in California's first-in-the-nation plans to set zero-emission sales goals by 2024 for medium and heavy-duty trucks.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching. Roger Stone sentenced to 3 years and 4 months in prison for lying to Congress and tampering with a witness to protect President Trump. For more on the sentencing, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with former federal prosecutor Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter & English.
After the interference by Attorney General Barr and the tweets by the president, this sentencing is probably going to be picked apart for any signs that the judge was not independent. Do you see any signs that the judge was not independent?
I think the judge here demonstrated her independence in a number of ways. First of all, she addressed the politics of this sentencing, which I found to be unusual. Generally, judges will stay away from the political winds that may swirl around a particular sentence, and this case was even more political than most. But Judge Jackson really took that issue head on, making some statements that were pretty surprising and pretty direct, where she said, for example, that Stone was not being prosecuted for standing up for the president. He was being prosecuted for covering up for the president. She also called out the Attorney General, William Barr, in a sense in which she mentioned that his intervention in this case was unprecedented. So she took on those political issues, and then she methodically went through all of the misconduct that was proven, in her view, by prosecutors during the trial, and I think really laid out a very damning case of bad conduct and illegal conduct by Roger Stone, although ultimately she sentenced him to a sentence that was less than the harshest guideline sentence that prosecutors had originally requested.
What I found interesting is that she applied enhancements based on things such as Stone's obstruction of the case, including his use of social media to post a photo of the judge with crosshairs. And the prosecutors didn't object. These are the new prosecutors coming in on a new sentencing memo, and yet they supported the enhancements.
Everybody was watching very closely the new team of prosecutors who came in to handle the sentencing after the four original prosecutors all resigned from the case in protest over the changing of the sentencing recommendation. Really, at the end of the day, the new prosecutors came in and didn't do much very differently than what the original prosecutors had endorsed. In fact, the prosecutor who was handling the sentencing hearing endorsed the same technical logic that the prior prosecutors had used in generating their recommendation of the first sentencing memorandum, and all of the enhancements that the original prosecutors had originally requested were also supported by the second team of prosecutors.
And that's Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter & English, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 11 points. Dow futures down 90. NASDAQ futures down 39. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 1.48%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.37%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% or 78 cents at $53.10 a barrel. And the euro is at 1.08 against the dollar. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.